The question was asked, you are Dutch, and you wait 1 hour, at least for chicken. So we'll continue. Says the Ramah, there are those who are of the opinion that you don't have to wait 6 hours. But right away when you finished your meal and you benched, if you clean out your mouth, yeah, you drink something, you eat something, you finish the meal, meaning you're not allowed to have at the same table meat and milk, that's clear. But you cleared the table, and then you had a piece of cake, and you had a cup of tea, and now you want to eat milk, mutar. This opinion is quoted in Tosfot. This opinion is quoted in the Mordechai. This opinion is quoted in the commentary on the Rosh. This is a very strong opinion, because that's what seems in the Talmud. The Talmud says, don't eat meat and milk in the same meal. So the rabbi said, that means wait till the next meal. When is the next meal? Well, if you eat lunch at noon, and you eat dinner at, people would eat breakfast at 11, 12 o'clock. They didn't eat breakfast when they woke up. They would eat their breakfast at 10, 11, 12, and then they'd eat their dinner at 4, 5, 6. So they usually had two meals, and the gap in between was about 6 hours. So the rabbi said, wait 6 hours. It says, wait till the next meal. The other opinion in Tosfos says, what it said is not that meal. You finished the meal, cleared the tablecloth, cleaned out your mouth, you could eat milk. So there is such an opinion in Tosa. Says the Ramah, but our custom in these countries is, you have to wait after you eat meat, 1 hour. Ah, we found the source. I know I'm not Dutch. I know. You need a Dutch rabbi. But I'm just read Ramah. Ramah, says the Ramah, our custom in this country, says the Ramah, Krakow, Poland, that's where the Ramah was, is to wait 1 hour. And then we eat cheese. So the Dutch have a very strong basis. It's in the Ramah. But let's continue. Miu ba'at, says the Ramah, tzichim nevarech gam kin birkat hamazon achar habasar. They have to bench. You can't just finish eating your meat and then sit down and schmooze and have tea and cake. And then you say, okay, now bring out the cheesecake. It's mean an hour. No. Bench and then have your tea and cake. And then an hour passed, you can have your cheese. The rest of you who aren't Dutch, this doesn't apply for. You could just be jealous of a Dutchman, and your daughter might marry a Dutchman. Right? Wait, let's move forward. It's only after you bench that you could consider the next meal a separate meal. That then, those lenient people, they would allow you to eat. But if you didn't bench, the hour doesn't help, the hour wait. But, says the Ramah, if you end the meal and you wait an hour and then you bench, then the hour does count. Doesn't matter if the hour was before benching or after benching. Okay? If you found meat, you better take a toothpick and clean it out. You can't eat milk with that. The Ramah says, "V'yesh midak dekim," and there are those who are careful. Lamtin sheshot, to wait that 6 hours after eating meat. V'chein nachon lasot, and that's the proper way to behave. Wait those 6 hours. And the Shach adds another powerful line. He quotes from the Marshal, who was a contemporary of the Ramah, and he says, "Chen ra'ui la'asot lekol mi sheyesh bo reach Torah." Anyone who has a little bit of Torah smell in him should certainly wait the 6 hours. So you have a source. I wait 3 hours. I'm a Yeki. So I have a problem because my 3 hours don't appear here. Where do 3 hours come from? 1 hour it says in the Ramah. Where do 3 hours come from? So, one step at a time. So when I came to yeshiva, one of my rabbeim said, 1 hour has a source and 6 hours has a source. 3 hours has no source. You can't wait 3 hours. I said, no problem. I'm waiting one. Okay. My 3 hours don't have a source. So he said, 1 hour has a source and 6 hours has a source. I said, fine, I'm waiting one, and I'm machmir another two. Okay, I'm not changing my parents' minhag. I'm waiting one, a chumrah one. Say that. Then I discovered that Rabbeinu Yerucham says the three. There is a source. Rabbeinu Yerucham is a very big Rishon, Ashkenazi Rishon. And I asked Rabbi Feinstein, I said, I weigh three. He looks at me and says, you a Yeki? I said, yeah. So he says, no. So what's the problem? I said, the Ramah. What am I supposed to do? He said like this. The Yekish Minig is known. The Yekis are known that they have ancient Minhagim. And the Ramah is not stronger than the Yekish Minag. Stick with your 3 hours. He said, you have a Minag. It doesn't say it here. Okay. I would say that being that the Yekish Minag is based, your 1 hour you're doing. So I'm fulfilling the minimum. Now, anyone who isn't Dutch has to stick to the general Ashkenazi Minag, which is 6 hours. You're Yekki, okay, stay three. But if you're a regular Ashkenazi, you do six. But what you have to know is that there's a breakdown here. Eating meat and milk at the same meal is prohibited. You finish the meal. You benched. The first hour, says the Kaf HaChaim, is a rabbinic prohibition. So even though the Ramah quoted over here that there are those who say you can just clean off the table and bench and clean out your mouth and eat milk afterwards, no one does that. Never seen a Jew in my life who does that. You might have a situation where a person has a medical need. A person has to take a medical treatment that's milchik, and he has to take it after a meal. And on Shabbos he wants to eat. There might be scenarios where we'd say, you don't want the guy his whole life is going to have to take this lactose pill, this pill that's milchik, and we're not going to tell him that he should never eat meat on Shabbos. And it could be there'll be scenarios where we'll say, rely on this. And the meal, clean out your mouth. You can't wait. Okay, there might be scenarios we'll roll up behind this. But, says the Kaf HaChaim, the first hour is rabbinic. So the first hour, you have to have a cause that's so big that it would push off a rabbinic prohibition. An illness might push off a rabbinic prohibition. But after the first hour, it's minog, the next five. And that's important because what overrides a minog? You don't have to be sick in bed to override a minog. It could be sick to the level where you're not bedridden. So that's what the Mishnah Brura brings. During the 9 days, we have a minog, we have a custom not to eat meat. But let's say a woman's nursing, and she feels weak. She wants meat. We don't tell her, lady, see if you can handle another few hours. See if you could handle another day. No. You feel like you'll feel better with the meat, eat the meat. There's a custom. Right. But when I feel weak, that overrides a custom. A rabbinic law, you need a greater reason for. But for a minhag, so then we say, it's enough that it's weakness. It's enough that a person tells you, look, I have a problem that I'm having an ulcer. A person, not even an ulcer, a person tells you his problem is he has acid reflux. He has, what do they call it? Heartburn. He has heartburn. And the doctors tell him he should drink a cup of milk. So if he's having heartburn, so we say it's an hour after the meal. You benched, you had your hour, you've shifted from the rabbinic prohibition to the minag. So when there are needs, like a nursing woman, very often we'll say if a pregnant woman says, I need my cereal, I need my ice cream, I need my pickles with my ice cream, right? So we'll say, okay, if an hour has passed from the time that you ate the meat, so then there are definitely opinions that will say that for that type of need, it's enough to be lenient after that hour. Because between the first hour and the sixth hour, we've shifted to a minhag. This is also important when a person is in the tshuva process. So a person says, I'm getting used to not eating meat and milk together. So it's a big deal. I'm not having cheeseburgers. It's a big deal. So good for you. Do I have to wait between meat and milk? Don't eat them at the same meal. Have your cup of coffee after the meal. Clean out your mouth and wait. I feel like I can handle more. I'm keeping Shabbos already. I'm keeping kosher. I'm not eating meat and milk at the same meal. Okay, if you can wait, so try an hour. Try an hour, bench and wait an hour. You did your hour, see if you could shift to two. Once you've passed the hour mark, you're already fulfilling all the basics of the halacha. You'd like to fulfill all the minagim like everyone else. Good, when you're up to it. But we can proceed when we understand the weights of the halacha, then we can also feel good about our progress. I'm keeping Shabbos. I'm keeping kosher, and now I'm also waiting between meat and milk. So if you walk around thinking there's no basis for what I'm doing, I'm stomach shaking. You know, I'm a starter. I'm not for real. I'm just practicing. No, you're for real. The basic halacha is you're keeping. You have to work your way up. Don't feel bad about that. That's okay. No one can do everything in a day, and you're keeping the halacha. That's the big advantage. Once we understand the buildup of halacha, we can understand how to build up ourselves. And when a person has a bad day, and he feels like he can't handle it anymore, so he doesn't have to sit down and eat a cheeseburger. He could finish his meal, and wait his hour, and then have his milk, and he doesn't have to feel like a sinner. He could say, okay, I'm not holding there yet. I have a day that I'm weaker. I can know how to work my way down, and then work my way back up, and I don't have to beat myself up for it. And that's why it's very important to know the difference between what's halacha and what's minhag. Not so that you walk around saying, oh, that's just a minhag, I don't have to do that. That's not true. You have to do minhagim. A Jew is a Jew that does minhagim. Every Jew has to respect minhagim and do minhagim. It's not a freebie. I don't have to do it. It's only a minhag. That's not true. You know, my kids sometimes tell me that. It's only a minhag. What do you mean it's only a minhag? It's a minhag. You know, we keep minhagim. It's a big deal. Anerot alalu. We everything, a huge amount of what we do in Judaism is minhag. You can't say it's just a minhag. It's a minhag. It's huge.
A kippah.
Oh, kippah. Well, a lot of what we do is minhagim. Fine. But at the end of the day, it's important to know that halachic weight. Not that we should deride it. Don't look down at it. A minhag is very, very important. But a minhag, at the end of the day, is not biblical, it's not rabbinic. It's a minhag, which means we respect it, we keep it, and at the end of the day, it has that gravity, that amount of weight. But we do keep it. I'm saying a person has to know he has to keep it. I would even say that if a person isn't intending to keep it minhagim, he should not do giyur. Meaning it's a huge part of what Judaism is. It's not that a person can say, I'm Jewish, I just don't do minhagim. No, that's not called being Jewish. If a person would tell me, you know, I'm going to convert, but I'm not going to keep minhagim, then I would tell them, don't convert. I mean, it's a real huge part. When the Torah says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Al titosh torati mecha, don't let go of your mother's Torah, that is the source for minhagim. That's called your mother's Torah. It's what your mother says, this is what Jews do. It doesn't say it anywhere. This is how we behave as a Jew. That's minhag. And minhag is huge. Don't get the wrong message here. I'm not putting down minhagim. I'm just saying, as far as halachic weight, at the end of the day, it's not biblical, it's not rabbinic. It's a minhag. A minhag is very, very important, but it's still not on the level of biblical or rabbinic. Okay? Okay.